All right. Welcome back to The Love Hunter. This is a very special edition. We're going into Thanksgiving, so I want you all to have something, you know, great and powerful and loving to, you know, listen to, because like I said, like, now I'm just scared. Like, I can't talk about these celebrities anymore because just as a whole, they're too toxic and they're not real. And when I say real, I don't mean in the sense that you can't reach out and shake their hand. Like, they have the finances to go out and buy up one, two, or three different type of therapists, marriage counselors, personal trainers, dietitians, nutritionalists, what else? Doctors, they have at their disposal all of the things that you could ever want, right? That you could ever want. Because we already have what we need. Like, that's the hard part. We already have what we need. We just don't work it and use it to its best capacity due to a lack of knowledge or a lack of resources. Yeah, so it might be too far away from you, or it might cost too much, right? So these celebrities aren't real. Like, they're not real. I'm sorry. And that's why I said, like, I'm just done with Will and Jada. There are, you know, celebrities that you can watch and follow, but it's like the more I hear them talk now, it's like the more I don't want to hear nothing. I'm like, this is poison. Ah, like, I have to stop my ears. I'm like, this is poison. Like, I'm sick of this. Like, why let it get so far? Why let it get out there? What about the real people? What about what we're actually doing in our lives versus spending all of our time chewing up on what they've got going on? So I'm like, let me get away from them for a second. Come back to who I really created this podcast for, which is us. Our love, our relationships, our enjoyment, our entertainment, our lives, right? Like, the thing I love about comedians, thing I love so much about comedians is they find a comical way to tell you about life. So, you know, I just want to call myself a storyteller in that regard. I'm not a comedian because I don't necessarily want to make you laugh. I want to make you level up, you know? So I'm a storyteller. I started to realize, you know, I'm at one of my, one of our friends, you know, has a daughter that's, you know, hooping, playing basketball. And I'm just watching, you know, her hoop, and I'm looking around, and I'm looking at, you know, the moms, the dads, the couples, you know, even the people that I know that are single. And I'm just like, it is probably one of the greatest assets you could ever have as a single person, just spending time with married folk that are your age, or 5 years older, or 10 years, you know, older than you, or that same amount of time into their marriage. So I'm gonna take a bite of this banana. Y'all forgive me. But it's so beneficial to have that wisdom. Like, is he really eating this banana on a podcast? Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm hungry. I got stuff to do. I'm busy. This is my first lunch. Like, my first and second lunch. This is my first lunch. My first lunch is fruit. My second lunch is something like that as well. Like nuts, protein, maybe a protein shake. But the dating expectations versus reality is killing me right now, y'all. It's killing me. These lists of things that, you know, we can and can't do. I'm like, how about we just back up for a second? Back up for a second and say what we really mean, and say what it is we're really trying to accomplish. If you believe that saving money and a good financial plan is a part of how you want to introduce yourself in the relationship, dating and marriage, you know, later comes afterwards, then just say that. If you believe that for a first date, the restaurants and you know, this, that, and that need to be on a certain level, because you don't do that very much. And you want to make sure that the beginning, the first impression, is iconic and strong and this, that, and the third, then okay, you know, say that. If you absolutely can't go to Applebee's or Wendy's or Chick-fil-A and that's not a first date, I get it. But those kind of things, if they bother you that much, you need to say that up front. And it's not really petty. It's just quality communication. You have to communicate your expectations better. Now, here's where, for me, all of these, you know, do's and don'ts don't really fit. I've been married 14 years, right? I've known my wife for about 22 years. And I'm pretty sure, because we met in college, I'm pretty sure I saw her in sweatpants more than I seen her in like heels and boots and dressed up and makeup and all that. Because I used to see her, you know, out and about on campus working out. And for y'all that don't know, some people do get dressed to go to school in college. Some people don't give a blank, which is hilarious because you get in college and fools start having a beard, right? Girls don't shave their legs for a whole winter time, especially like the swimmers. The swimmers had a tradition where these girls even shave their heads, you know, going in a conference meet, from what I've seen. But the need to exploit your beauty and exploit who you are and what you're doing goes down significantly because of how difficult those college courses are. You can't have them both. If you want a lot of money and root down into the economy for opportunities and good grades and internships and programs, then no, you're not going to look very good on that college campus until like the weekend when it's time to go out. But if you want to look good all the time, you'll be stuck that way. That will be your main flex. That will be it. Like, you want to look good all the time? Okay, just look good all the time. If that's what you want, that's what you want. You came to a place where we build education and debt, where we build education and hopefully a quality career to remove the debt quickly. You came to that place caring about what people think in terms of your looks. You care what people think based on looks versus how that paycheck is going to look. And that's why, like, as time and issues and problems and whatever was going on in my personal life kept going, I started to realize the importance of that education. Not necessarily the GPA, but the importance of that education and the completion of those degrees and taking class serious and really taking a chance to learn and grow. Because if it's not there, it's not there. You know, if it's not there, it's not there. Maybe you need to, you know, take classes in the summer or find a way to ramp up or get tutoring. Because, yeah, when it's just not happening, it's not happening. And I know that personally. I've seen that with people. But back to my point, like, dating expectations versus the reality of what you're going to look like 5 to 10 years down the road. When you've got a baby or a kid or whatever, you aren't going to all these fancy restaurants anymore. You aren't putting on the hair and the makeup and all that every day. And that's my point, is what are you really trying to establish with what you're putting in front of this man or putting in front of this woman? And like, the crazy thing is, I never hear about these problems from the pride community, from the LGBTQIA. Is it because they talk things out so much? Is it because they were hurt and abused by the straight world so much? Is it because they, you know, finally found a way to, you know, separate what's fancy from what's real? Because I'm going to be honest. There are some men that go in drag, right? And this happened to me in college. A guy that I used to rent movies to, because I used to work in college to make a little extra money. I used to work at the rental, the movie gallery. And I would rent people out DVDs and movies and all that all the time. And, you know, talk about movies, be their best friend, whatever. Guy comes in a tight, you know, shirt. I didn't think nothing of it. I'm with my friends partying hard, right? We're partying hard in a whole nother city, about a half an hour away. And we're sitting down there to eat. I have my chicken fried steak and my peas and carrots. I'm about to chomp down and eat. And this group of guys in drag walk in. And the guy that's, you know, locking eyes with me, like I like look, because I have a staring problem. I stare at people. And I like look up and I see this guy like in this fabulous outfit locking in on me. And he's like, Wayne? And I'm like, huh? Huh? That was the best I could. Huh? And he's like, hey, that is you. I was like, hey, Jeff, how you doing? And he was like, good, I'm out here. And like all my friends looking at me like, you know, guys in drag now. So, yeah, I know one drag queen. Well, actually, that was years ago, so I probably know more now. It's 2023. Life is lifing. But that's my point. I didn't recognize him because he didn't do this every day. He didn't dress up and be all, you know, fancy and all that every day. Like, he just was a regular dude just walking around renting movies. Watching, what was out at that time? God, what was that? I think around that time, it was like Waiting. Ryan Reynolds wasn't, you know, he wasn't anything close to what he is now because of like the Deadpool movies, but it was like Waiting, Van Wilder, The Cookout, like, yeah, Ja Rule and Eve, and like Who's Your Caddy, like just the, like everybody talking about Benjamin Andre right now, Andre 3000 and his music, but like I remember this whole time he's been doing this. That's why I'm like, y'all are crazy. Like, he's been doing this to y'all this whole time. You just didn't realize he was in a completely different lane. But that's just my point. Like, it just seems like the people that want to stir up a hot mess are stirring up a hot mess, only to realize that in 5 to 10 years' time, sweatpants. You're going to be in sweatpants. Your body does not need to be in those outfits that you keep wearing on the first, second, and third date. You need to put on some sweatpants. Like, your body needs the health and the regeneration and the ability for your digestive tract to move freely. Them tight pants and all that tight equipment and then the rubbing on the body and creating all them, you know, crazy ingrown hairs and marks. Like, no, just stop it. Stop it. I think there's a wonderful thing that people don't talk about in relation to beauty, where if you can't see the beauty in that woman in sweatpants and a t-shirt, you're never going to see it. If you can't see how beautiful that woman is in a sweatpants and t-shirt, you're never going to get it. Like, you're never going to see it. Like, no woman is born as a baby with high heels. No woman is born with all of the stuff. Like, those are all additional things. Like, you go buy that stuff to create this image of a woman that we've been poisoned with. So if you can't love that woman for who she is, sorry. And then vice versa. I gotta say this to women. Women, there is the DNA, okay? DNA, mating call. And that DNA mating call is going to come out from you. It's going to bounce back. And you're going to mate with the more stacked candidate, right? I don't think there's anything wrong with that. There's probably plenty of men that my wife would look at if she hadn't met me and chose them over me because of just the way our DNA is set up to pick elevation and an upgrade. You're set up to pick up the upgrade. There's nothing wrong with that. I think that's fine. We choose who we're attracted to because on a cellular level in that DNA, we try to choose the person that's going to make our existence better as we reproduce. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But when you make that the only thing that you can have going forward, you lose out on all the qualities on paper that you said you want. And now it's painfully obvious. I have to say this because I have male friends. It's tough. It is tough to find the Barbie Ken match. You get what I'm saying? Like in Insecure, Issa's character and what is his name? Not Wes. What is his name? Lawrence. Rince. So when Lawrence and Issa are at their best, okay? Like what they look like when they go to the red carpet. I would love to put them together because they're such an iconic couple. Just how they look, best and best. They had to play them down on the show so that they look like you could take shots at them so that they looked vulnerable. But in real life, when you see them out and about just on a regular day, red carpet style, that's a hard couple to put together, you all. Like, that's a really hard couple to put together. And like for all that time that Brad Pitt was with Jennifer Aniston, and then Angelina Jolie came in. Well, Angelina Jolie is a completely different machine, right? She's so much more real than Jennifer Aniston. Sorry. No disrespect to her, but like the way Angelina Jolie is like leveled up as a person, like she's lived. It's probably not all good living. You know, because we're all human, we make some mistakes. I've made them. We all make them. But like, I could just tell that's a woman that's lived a little bit more. But pairing and partnering these Hollywood couples together and getting that Mr. Right. Like, ladies, please don't do this to yourselves. And that's why when I talked about the podcast of hunting as the love hunter, as women of a certain level of intelligence and financial achievement and wisdom and knowledge, you are no longer allowed to lie to yourself and say that you will get a man the traditional way. You are a hunter. And all of the ways we love are like the Marvels, like Captain Marvel, Teyonah Parris, and the Miss Marvels. They're trying to show you this is a completely different age of women where these women are women, but they can be the strongest Marvel characters in the whole universe. Strength and power are strength and power, no matter how you look at it. But to think that we're still in the old school dating mechanisms when there are women that are far better hunters than men is crazy. So that's what I'm saying. Like 5 to 10 years down the road, when you see these couples with each other, these men and women are talking about business together. These men and women are talking about how they want to mold their kids' minds together. These men and women are talking about holiday plans, buying a home, how to furnish that home, the colors on that home, you know? And that's why going to the furniture store is such a big deal, is because nobody programs you and explains to you that this is going to be your life. This is going to be your home. And that woman has a billion feelings about all this stuff. And like an idiot, as men, we assume that doesn't apply to us. It applies to us in every way. You're going to sit on that couch and sometimes almost want to cry yourself to sleep. You're going to sit on that couch and raise your kids and hold your baby and maybe change a diaper right there on the floor. You're going to sit on that couch and get the greatest news you've ever got from your job or the worst news you've ever got from your job. You're going to sit on that couch and look out the window in depression. You're going to sit on that couch and look out that window happier than you've ever been in your life. You're going to sit on that You're going to sit in that couch and the romance, okay? The romance is built or torn down based on the color, the pattern, the look, the feel, the height of the couch, how high or low it is. Like, this is for y'all. And especially whether you have kids or not, because we do have mixed families out there that, you know, you might have a kid, she might have a kid, he might have a kid, you might have a kid, you know, and then you guys bring, you know, your couples there. But still, as men, we think that that's not us. Oh, it's very much us, because at some point you're going to feel some kind of way about this couch and the colors and not know why. And it's because we never take time to build that feminine part of ourselves. And then once it does show up, now you're mad and angry. You're like, I don't like this couch. I don't like this color. Now I realize I don't like none of this. And the whole point was, you know, to try to include you in that from the beginning. So 5 to 10 years down the road in that marriage with that child, you know, wherever it is in that relationship that you go, just please understand, it's not going to be all this first impression stuff. It's a marathon. Are you built to make it to mile 7, to mile 14, and then 26? What is it about us as people that is showing that we're built to last, that we're built to make it a little bit further, right? That we're built to be a better team, that we're built to explain our expectations and communicate our expectations better. How are we doing that? And then what are we dragging into the relationship that really shouldn't be in there? So that's a lot to try to dig up on the first, you know what I'm saying? The first impression, but I just really think people need to get on that. Like it's not as easy as, you know, it's not as easy as people keep trying to make it, you know? And if you want to put up a to-do list, great. Hey, let's bring a to-do list to this, you know, date. And we can talk about some of these things that marriage, you know, therapists, marriage psychologists say are, you know, very strong building points in a relationship. Let's talk on those things. Cause like what some of these dudes are doing, I mean, it's just horrible. What some dudes are doing on the first date is horrible. And then ladies, I gotta say it, like, if you all are doing the same type of unrealistic behavior, but it's dressed up a different way, that's twice as wrong. So everybody's out here looking for the perfect person, the perfect mate, while not taking accountability for their own baggage, while not taking accountability for the things that they're doing wrong. And then all the, I'm going to make fun of us for a second. You got all the old married fat people just sitting back laughing like, I'm not doing all that. Like the marriages work enough. The marriages work enough to where you're looking at everybody that's single telling you what they're not going to do or what their red flags are or green flags are. And it's just like, okay, you're telling me what these red flags and green flags are, but what are you doing yourself for yourself to improve as a person? What are you doing like for yourself? Because I think it's great to take orders. I think it's great to take orders, right? You're taking orders and you're being a good waiter, being a good waitress. This is what they want. Yes, this is what they want. But what are they going to be during this whole time? Right? Like, some people really are good at communicating what they want. I want A, I want B, I want C, I want D, and I want A at this point, B at this point, C at this point, and D at this point. Some people are really good at that. But what about you? What about the person making all the requests? What are you going to be doing this whole time? Just judging? And like, the two biggest examples I always think of are the woman from Hangover. Like, how mad that woman was at the dentist, the doctor. Oh my God, I can't stand that role. Like, all the time. And then that same woman is in a movie called Old Dads on Netflix with Bill Burr, Bokeem Woodbine, and I can't remember the other gentleman's name. The Italian guy that was always cool. But she's in that with him. And the way Bill Burr is, I mean, he was a classic version of guys that are speaking the truth, but your delivery is horrible. You're speaking the truth. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, your truth is truth. Great. But your delivery is horrible. There's something wrong with you. There's something wrong, and we need to fix that. So, y'all, please look at what people are doing that are married 5 to 10 years, got that baby. Please reference them. Stop talking to so many single people. Start talking to people that have the marriage that you want, that have the relationships that you want. Build off of that. Build a foundation off of them. And don't just talk to the man. Sit down and talk to them together. Sit down and talk with them as a couple and explain, hey, this is where I keep getting it wrong. I feel like this is where I might be getting it right. What do I got to do to make it to the next level and do this thing right? You will gain so much wisdom by hearing from a female what a dominant grand feminine perspective is, and then hearing from a male a similar voice to tell you what's been good, what's been bad, what's been helpful. And if they can't talk without arguing after, you know, 10, 20 years of marriage and help you, then you can move on. Real quick, I do want to, you know, talk about who I'm thankful for, you know, this Thanksgiving. I'm just thankful for favor. I will never not be thankful of the favor in my life. And it's why I give people favor. I give people things that they can't afford, because a lot of the things and the ways I've been helped, I could not afford. I there's no way I could pay for it, ask for it, even try to line it up. It's too big of a gift. It's too big of a blessing. And to be on God's earth and not show appreciation in some way, to me, that is a sin. To get this much help, this much love, and this much blessing and not pay it forward, I won't do that, and I can't do that. So I am 100%, 3,000% thankful for the favor that continuously passes through my life and sows through my life. And yet, and of course, probably makes my wife mad a little bit sometimes, but I'm better. I'm better now. I give people things. I help people with things. I care, you know, and I continue to care and I continue to love. I build bridges, you know, a lot more than I, you know, close them. And that's just how I am. That's just who I am. I'm also thankful for maturity. The knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that I've received in this life and continue to receive in spite of my mental battles, in spite of the trouble that I've ran in spite of the darkest times, the most painful times. And the darkness wasn't rest. Sometimes the darkness was a knockout. Sometimes the darkness was literally me being choked out. You know, darkness is rest. Darkness is healing. But sometimes it's what causes it that makes it bad. What's what makes it evil. So the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that I've received just in this life from friends, from family, from people, from signals, you know, that just go off and I just happen to catch them, is just infinite and priceless, like just priceless. So I'm thankful for that knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that I continue to have and continue to grow with. It's why I know what I need to do next. And it's hard because a lot of people don't realize when you are smarter, when you are wiser, a lot of times you're going to see what's wrong around, you know, the picture a lot easier than the naive happiness is bliss kind of mindset, rose colored glasses mindset. And that's why, like, now my wife probably knows, is like, don't mess up my parade. If I'm happy and feeling good, let me go. Just let me go. Because once I see it, I'm that one. Once I see the problems, once I see the issues, I can't ever unsee it. Because my knowledge, my wisdom, my understanding tells me that if something is chewing at the vine now, you will lose that whole crop. If something is gnawing at that base of the tree trunk right now, that thing is going to fall on your house. So I know that there is a cause and effect to everything. And if there's something I can do to help, I'm going to do it. Last but not least, I'm seeing that change comes from accountability. And this is hard as an adult, really hard. I keep seeing that people want to restart the game. They want to put the coin in or hit the start button. It's 10, 9, 8, 7, continue. You know, it's like when I used to play video games, I'm like, yeah, oh, if I go low instead of going high, 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 then, you know, I can knock this guy down and win the game. You know, Tekken. You know, Tekken 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You know, Tekken, Street Fighter, all of them. Like, you do have to change your strategy. You don't have to change people, but you do have to change strategy. But if you just keep getting bodied up with different strategies and that person, it might be time to change strategies altogether. A different body, a different identity. You have to ask, what am I doing wrong? And you got to sit still with that question. What am I doing wrong? Until you ask that question and align with proper mentoring, proper teaching, you will never grow. And it's one of the hardest things to watch as an adult, to watch adults never ask that question, what am I doing wrong? How do I get this right? And instead of asking that question, what somebody does is they finally just say, hey, you know, you might need to sit down and talk to someone. Now that we live in the era of mental health, it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. The way you think and live out reality shows what's in your mind. The way you move and compete as an athlete shows me what your body is capable of. When you can't do specific things like squat down and tie your shoes, bend over, touch your toes, squat with proper form, bench press with proper form, push-ups, all that, this, that, and the third. I know that there's something wrong with your physical health, your physiology, your body, and how you move. So your body's going to tell me that something's wrong with your muscles. Your actions in life are going to tell me that there's something going on with your mind. So I don't ever ask now what's wrong with you. I ask what happened to you. My wife was reading a book where, you know, they say that. What happened to you instead of what's wrong with you? I'm thankful for that. You've got to align with the proper mentoring and the proper help. But it never starts until you come and ask for help. You're not doing this right. You're not winning. I don't want to jump and be like, you're doing it wrong because you didn't know how to do it right. Like, that's kind of an insult to tell somebody you're doing it wrong. Well, okay, like, I wasn't aiming for wrong. I was really aiming for the best case scenario. So, I mean, I'm not wrong. I just didn't know how to do it right. You know, it's not that you failed. It's you didn't get the results that you wanted. You know, so I think people are too bold in that loving to tell people they failed or loving to tell people that they're wrong, because I didn't know that I was wrong this whole time. I think that's something you have to come to the conclusion of. You need to be able to say that you're wrong. When people just blatantly say it, well, you're wrong. It's like, that wasn't what I was going for, but okay. Like, explain. So I can say it that way. If you want to be bold and get on somebody's back and tell them that they're wrong, you better have a plan. Because strong condemnation, I believe, should be followed with a strong accountability and plan. So in telling somebody that they're wrong, you have now made yourself accountable to tell them what is right. So yeah, it's wrong to speed. Okay, that's wrong. To run stop signs. So then let's flip it. What's right? You need to stop at the stop sign. You count 1, 2, 3, and then go. So it's actually like a 4 count. So it's a responsibility. Coming to someone and asking what's wrong, right? What am I doing wrong? Because that person is going to tell you what's right. So if it is that, and they are telling you you're wrong, I'm assuming that they're going to tell you what's right. So please don't get your feelings all hot and bothered in a ruffle. They might tell you what's right. And that's a beautiful thing. So I'm thankful for favor. I'm thankful for knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And I'm thankful for friends that came from that level up, right? But a lot of that didn't come until I could make that change from accountability. You don't get that level up, that knowledge, wisdom, and understanding for nothing. You get it to level up. And for me, what that meant in our home was a change from accountability. So it doesn't mean it's going to be always easier. Being a smarter, more wise person, you know, as Ecclesiastes says, with great wisdom comes great sorrow, you know. So you also have to know how to sit and chill and recline, something I'm really trying to get better at. It's just being able to rest and relax and heal, because I'm just going all the time. So yeah, you all, I'm thankful for you who's listening to me. Thankful for you. You can share my podcast with anyone that you like, especially if they're trying to get over things, get through things, and level up. And just thankful in general for the air in my lungs, the mind that I do have, the abilities in my body, and, you know, my family and people that I love in my life. So I'm thankful for that. Thankful for you all, favor, maturity, you know, and those people that came from that level up. So I love you all. Hope you love me back. I'll see you soon.